This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. An estimated 163 million workers are covered under Social Security, yet most of those individuals aren't really sure what the system means for them, when they should start collecting Social Security, how their retirement age affects their benefits, or how much money each month they'll receive under the program. Denny Haywood, president of Social Security Solutions, discusses the ins and outs of Social Security and what you should consider when planning your retirement. Also, financial advisor Chris DeSimio is here. Chris and Denny, thanks for joining me this afternoon.
Good to be here.
Always good to see you.
Always good to see you too, Chris. Lots of economic data coming out this week. How are the numbers shaping up?
It's like the Thanksgiving leftovers. So they just keep you think you've gotten rid of them, and they're just more. You try to make soup with the leftovers, and you end up with more soup.
And in some cases, I think we got October's numbers as well because of the shutdown.
So. Well, that's exactly you were exactly correct, because we got the housing numbers today, but we got two of them. We've got the leftover housing new home sales from the month of September, which really weren't all that great. And then we got one of the best numbers ever. The housing new home sales for the month of October were expected to come in at a rate of 425,000. They were actually at 444,000. This was a huge number. So people kind of, waiting a little bit in September ahead of the government shutdown in October. But once it finally happened and the world didn't come to an end, the numbers were huge.
And those are the best in what, about three decades?
Yes. Yes. Also today, we got to look at the kind of a preview of the employment figures on Friday. Remember that the first Friday of any given month. Normally, though it didn't happen in October because of the shutdown, but generally at 8:30 in the morning, the first Friday of every month, the employment report is released. And this month, that number is expected on Friday, and it's anticipated that the unemployment rate itself will drop to 7.2 from 7.3. The range is 7 to 7.3. Non-farm payrolls, which were 204,000 last month, they're expected to decline a little bit to about 180,000. The range is 140 to 2,000. So there's a pretty wide gap there between the expectations. But today we got a peek at the ADP report. This is a private survey, not like the government survey. And this number last month was 130,000 new jobs going into the private sector. The forecast had been for 145,000 to 210,000. The number was 215,000. Now, the market doesn't seem to know what kind of environment it's in. In other words, is good news, or is good news bad news? So today, the good news was that, the employment situation's firming up. Oh, my goodness, the Fed's going to start tapering sooner than we thought. And so there was more weakness. We've not gotten off to a great start yet this month, just like last month. But we'll just have to see. We'll just have to see what happens on Friday. We also get a look tomorrow morning at the first-time claims for unemployment insurance. Those have been dropping dramatically. Last week, they were 316,000. This week, tomorrow morning at 8:30, they're expected to be 322. But the range, again, is 315 to 345. So stay tuned.
And something else that came out today, the service sector numbers.
The ISM service sector figures also showed expansion.
Not as much as what people were thinking, though, was it?
Before I say that's correct or not, I didn't put that one down in
put
there.
Put you on the spot, didn't I?
No, but I can get that because I've got my little laptop, my little tablet.
Yeah, I think it was interesting because the market initially reacted, like you were saying, to the ADP numbers by going down because they were good and they were worried about the Fed tapering.
Right.
And then when the service sector numbers came out and they weren't as good as everybody had thought, the market came back up a little bit, so it's been kind of an interesting day.
Yeah, it's called the ISM non-manufacturing. This used to be the NAPM. So I guess I said it too much like car parts. So they changed it from the National Association of Purchasing Managers to the Institute for Supply Managers, and that figure had been expected to come in at 55.5. Anything over 50 shows an expanding economy. The actual number was 53.9. So things are still – it's like the plow horse economy that various economists are describing, something that's not really charging out of the gates and racing forward, but just kind of moving forward, plodding, and just pulling the plow behind it.
And Denny, your topic is Social Security. And one of the figures I saw is that for retired workers, Social Security averages – it's about what, $1,269 a month is what I saw is the typical benefit.
The average payment going out.
Yeah, the average payment. That sounds like it's actually a major source of income for people who are heading into retirement?
Well, it is, Mark, and most of the time people plan on getting some Social Security, but even Social Security Administration puts out the fact that people depend on that. Most people depend on Social Security to replace 50% of their income that they have. So that's a figure that's very important to the basic American now.
Yeah. You know, it was etched in stone when Social Security first became the law of the land, the Federal Insurance Contributions Act, the FICA, that age 65 was established as the age for full retirement benefits, and that was etched in granite until about 30 years ago, and it's changed a little bit. What are those numbers now, Denny?
Well, now your full retirement age, if you were born between 1943 and 1954, your full retirement age is the month you turn 66.
The month. Not the year.
And
the
year you turn 66 is your full retirement year. And that's a tricky time because a lot of people think they have to wait till their full retirement month to draw their benefit, and they don't. They could start in January of that year many times, even if they're making $100,000, $125,000 a year. So that's one of the things I guess we'll talk about later today. But that figure for people now, that age 66 is a retirement date when you no longer will be affected by work from self-employment or a job.
So let's say that – well, we're just about done with this year mercifully. But let's say that your birthday is
– 1959. I want to know.
There we go.
Mine was 1959, October. Okay.
Well, let's say you're going to turn 66 next year.
66 and 10 months is your full retirement month.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. 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 So let's say you're going to turn 66 – full retirement age at the end of, let's say, November of 2014. Are you saying that you can actually begin to receive your full benefit in January 2014?
No, not your full benefit. You'll take a slight reduction. But let's say you're going to – it's November. They're only looking at how much you're going to earn from January through October. So you take your annual earnings and divide them by 12, take them times 10 –
okay.
And in that year, right now, the full retirement age benefit for anyone retiring in 2014 is $41,400. So that's the earnings limit that you have. So it goes way up from what it was the year before.
Okay.
Okay. So if you're under 62 next year, you can't make more than $15,140.
And still receive benefits.
$15,400.
And still receive benefits forfeiting some.
Without forfeiting some.
Okay.
But your full retirement year, all the math changes.
You can make a lot more money.
Absolutely.
You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Denny, if I start taking my benefits too soon, that's a problem too, because isn't there a penalty for taking it too soon, too early?
Yeah, there is. There's a reduction. If you take it at 62, now that's a retirement benefit. If you take that at 62, it's about a 25% reduction. For widows and widowers, they can start receiving it at age 60. And right, that's about a 25% reduction for widows and widowers. So if you take it early, you're going to have a less of a benefit, but you'll have it for a longer period of time.
So a widow's benefit, let's say you had a non-working spouse and who survives, those benefits start at age 60.
They can start at age 60.
And they're based on the earnings of the
deceased.
Is there a benefit to waiting? Does that number go up if the surviving spouse waits?
Yes. If their surviving spouse takes it at age 60, it's about a 30% reduction.
Okay. But it is available. But it's
available.
It's a haircut too.
Again, is she working or he working and earning money? The annual earnings test applies to them too. So if they can't make over $15,400. But then the closer you get to their full retirement age, which let's say it's 66, then that benefit reduction decreases as you get towards your full retirement age, the same as retirement does.
Interesting. So the same earnings test applies to widows at age 60. So if someone still can only make over $15,000 or so.
$400,000, right.
And make that, if you're receiving survivor benefits, if you make over $15,400, you will forfeit some of the Social Security that you have.
That limit applies to all beneficiaries.
Okay.
All, I mean, Even the young mother who's lost her husband and has two children, that limit applies to them too. Okay, the only time it doesn't apply is disability is a whole different animal, so we don't even.
It's all very complicated, Denny. I mean, what do you have to? You got to start considering a lot of factors early on, don't you? It's not just a case of, oh, I'm a year away from being able to collect my Social Security benefits.
Right.
You actually need to start planning ahead of time on how this will fit into your retirement, don't you?
Exactly, because you've got numerous choices on how you want to, when you want to retire, if you can, how's it going to affect your portfolio status? And another issue that comes up is longevity. I mean, how long do people live in your family? I mean,
exactly.
Not that you can't be have an accident and die early, but how long are people living in your family? That would say, okay, I'm going to take mine early. I don't have a male in my family that's lived past 70. I'm not going to wait till 70 to take my benefit. I'm going to take it early. So there's a lot of factors that come into play.
Yeah, that's interesting because what was it? Something I read in 1940, I think life expectancy of a 65-year-old was roughly 14 years if you were fortunate, 14 years beyond age 65. And today it's 20 plus years. So I imagine that's not only changing strategies, but that has to be putting a strain on the system as well.
It is, absolutely. And that's why, you know, they've got to do something to preserve the benefits as time marches on here. The trust funds will run out of money or run lower. I think it's 2032, somewhere around then, where they're going to pay out 75% of what they're.
The number just keeps getting pushed back.
Yeah.
Another set of figures that I find to be striking is that at 1930, when the decade in which Social Security was first created, male life expectancy at birth was about 58 years. Women's life expectancy was 60. And that was the year that the age 65 was set. Today, those life expectancies at birth are 20 years beyond that. And we've only moved the needle to receive full benefits forward by two.
Right.
So something may have to give.
Something has to give. That's right.
Right.
We'll continue our conversation about Social Security after the break, and you can join the discussion by calling 513-419-7100. You can email your questions or comments to talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU, talking about how Social Security fits into your retirement plans with Denny Haywood, president of Social Security Solutions, and financial advisor Chris DeSimeo. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk@wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. I guess you should have stayed in your car, shouldn't you?
I should have stayed. Right. When I hopped in the car to get down here, the market was – the Dow was up about 30 at this very minute. We're down about 62 points on the Dow. S&P's down 8 points. I can go back in the car if you like, if we can drag this microphone out there. You know, it was interesting too because at the beginning of November, everybody was worried, you know, just like as they were in October, that, oh my gosh, this is, you know, a scary time for the market. The Dow for the month was up almost 4%, 3.79%, and the S&P 500 was up about 2.4%. So it really wasn't all that bad a month. But the problem is that a lot of people think that they can just rely on the market year in, year out, month in, month out to grind out an income. Most people in retirement plans need some kind of income that they cannot outlive, and that for many, Social Security is the biggest piece of that puzzle for them.
Yeah.
And
it's
yet,
the rock, yeah.
Yeah, and considering how many people are affected by it, as you get towards retirement, there seems to be not a very good understanding of all the different ways that you can maneuver your benefits to maximize them.
Yeah, and that's a great point, Chris, because some other statistics, interesting stats that I saw, 163 million workers covered, 51% of those do not have a pension. 34% of those have no savings set aside specifically for retirement.
Ouch.
Yeah, so it plays a huge role in your retirement.
Huge, in fact. What do people do, Denny, as you get closer to retirement? Then let's say you have a husband and wife who have both worked, or one has worked and one hasn't. How do you dovetail in the different pieces of the Social Security puzzle to derive the maximum benefits?
Well, I'll tell you, every couple, every individual is a different situation. I've done hundreds of retirement analysis on people, right. What to take, when to take.
You worked there for almost three decades.
Right. I worked – yeah. Well, I did.
Yeah.
But the issue really is that the people don't look into what they can get and when they can get it early enough. And it's usually – you need to take a look at it by the time you're 60, 61 at the very latest. But the combination of benefits that – what you can do – is multiplicity. If you have a married couple and they are fine, they're working or they have enough money, I have many of them come to me and say, look, we don't need the money right now. What do we do? I'm 66. My wife's 66. We're doing okay. Well, you know what you can do? One way to maximize it is when you're 66, you file and take voluntary suspension, and then your wife can take half of your age 66 benefit until she's 70. Or vice versa.
So that's the so-called file and suspend.
File and suspend, right. So it depends who's going to have the higher benefit. I have numerous times people will come to me as a couple. They're both going to be 66 or one's going to be 66. And they say, we don't need the money. Well, if you don't need the money, the way to maximize it is to file and suspend. And then your spouse can file on your record and get your benefit, half of it.
While your own continues to pile up.
Right. And you can only do that at your full retirement month. But that's a very much used maximizing strategy.
File and suspend.
File and suspend.
Now, you also talk about something called file and restrict. What does that mean?
That means that let's say the same couple and the wife could get $2,000 a month at 66. The husband could get $2,500 at 66. Well, when he turns 66, he's not going to take his. He's going to wait till 70, so his bill's to about $800 more, about $3,300 a month. So he's not going to file and take his benefit, but he's going to file and restrict and take half of hers because she's receiving benefits. So he'll get $1,000 a month on her record while she's drawing the $2,000 a month on her own record. And then at 70, he will flip over to his own record and draw around $3,300 a month.
Denny, how is that monthly benefit calculated? Is it by how much I paid in total during my working years? Is it the last so many years of working?
They use your highest 35 years.
Okay.
Highest 35 years.
Right. And if you keep working on until age 70 and on, they're going to replace the low years and put a high year in and increase your benefit. So, and we're talking about earned income from a job or self-employment, not investments or anything. So if you're working, your highest 35 years will always be used to pay your benefit to you.
So one strategy is if I wait longer, I'll get a higher benefit then.
Absolutely. Right.
Let's talk with Kathy from Mount Washington. Good afternoon, Kathy.
Good afternoon.
And what's your question?
Well, my question has to do with the fact that I am a divorced woman, and my intention is not to remarry. But I was told because of the number of years that I was married that when I retire, I will be able to collect on my ex-husband's benefit amount.
True.
True.
True. You can.
Yeehaw.
You can. Yeehaw. Now, well, there's a catch to that, Kathy. There's a catch to that.
Okay. Now, it doesn't. Okay, it, just bye. Maybe just ye, because it doesn't come out of his. It doesn't reduce his benefit.
No, not at all. Not at all. We made somebody happy. What the heck?
That's not great.
But if you file for benefit before you're age 66 or before your full retirement month, okay, you can't get half of his if he's still living. Okay, you're going to get yours first and the difference on his account. All right. So if you wait till 66, you can take half of his benefit on his record and then continue to receive that until you're 70 or sometime between 66 and 70 and take the higher benefit on your record. But we got to see the numbers. We got to see, how much could you – what's half of his? What's yours at 66? And do a little analysis on that.
So it's not in addition to, it's instead of, you would get the higher of. Is that correct,
right,
Denny?
Right. Before her full retirement month, she's got to take, if she files, she's got to take her benefit. And she can't get half of his unless half of his is more than her age 66 benefit. So it gets involved here. So that's why we got to compare the numbers. But at age 66 or at your full retirement month, Kathy, you can file and restrict your benefits to spousal only, as long as you were married to him for at least 10 years, take half of his and wait till 70 on your own.
So, Kathy, are you happy and enlightened now?
Yeah, actually. No, and I don't want him to have any less benefit by any means. I think we all deserve what we've paid in.
It won't affect him at all.
Yeah.
But I thought I could collect, you know, like what he was collecting, but you're telling me it's half of his or whichever is the most, mine or him.
Right. And it's if you but they'd look at yours first if you're before your full retirement month.
Right. And then if you're before your full retirement month.
Right.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to wait till 66.
Okay. Then you've got a choice.
Kathy, great question.
I'm a very old dog groomer, but I will do it. hey, thank you very much.
Thank you, Kathy. Great question. Judith from Yellow Springs. Good afternoon, Judith. How are you?
Hi. Thanks for taking my question.
Very welcome. Go right ahead.
I'm 57. I've worked most of my life outside of the U.S. For foreign employers, and I'm back now, and I discovered to my surprise that all the years I worked as a college student, they didn't chip it, they didn't put into Social Security, so that I only have a total of 4 years in the U.S. So I have two questions. Is my understanding correct that I'm not entitled to any benefits whatsoever at this point? And if that is so, can one work beyond the 66 or 67 cutoff and accrue quarters, or when you hit 66, 67, if you don't have the 10 years, is that it?
Wow, lots of moving parts there.
A lot of moving parts.
Yeah.
Number one, what did you do outside the U.S.? Did you work for another country and pay into their system?
Yes.
Oh,
I
okay.
worked out of
all right.
Yeah,
well,
I was paid by a foreign employer.
Right. If you only have 4 years of coverage and your whole college time you worked in college is not covered employment, or what was it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, they didn't. I discovered only when I got back that they actually hadn't chipped in.
Yeah, then you're not insured on your own record. So you, in order to be insured on your own record, you need 40 quarters. So you can start any time.
Do those 40 quarters have to be accumulated before you hit retirement age?
No. No, they can be accumulated. However, are you drawing a pension or eligible for a pension from your work in a foreign country?
I have a pension through the job, but not through the government.
Was this job from teaching at a nonprofit or like a college or
yes.
a school?
Yes.
This is the government pension offset time, is it
yeah.
not?
Yeah. Well, no, it's
or windfall elimination.
It's WEP. Because if you're getting money from a pension from another country's Social Security system, then you're going to be subject to the windfall elimination provision.
Which means
that, well, I don't know how much
his brow is furrowing.
Yeah,
it's not good.
Which means if you do get coverage under Social Security, it's going to be affected by that foreign pension that you're receiving. It's just like me. I work for the federal government. My Social Security is affected. It's reduced by about $380 a month. And so yours could be, but I have to see, you know, what your pension is from the foreign. If it's only $400 from the foreign country, then any Social Security you get would be reduced by about $200.
It'll probably be about $2,000.
Okay, well, then your Social Security is going to probably be hit about $400 less, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to work all that time, pay in, and you're going to get a benefit of maybe, who knows, say $300, $400 a month, and then that could be reduced by your foreign pension.
Okay, that's good to know.
But the good news is that you're, you know, up there in the 45387, you're in one of the prettiest little villages, little towns ever conceived of.
Let me tell you something. I was up at the Fiber Festival back in with my wife in September. Lovely place.
Yellow
Springs.
It's a very nice village.
Yep.
Very nice place to live.
Judith, thank you very much for the phone call. We appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
And you can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100. You can email talk at WVXU.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And a question from Scott, Denny. Scott wants to take his Social Security at 63. And his question is, what is the Social Security definition of income applied to the $15,400 limit? Do unrealized earnings apply?
Good question. A lot of people get this confused. The only thing that can affect your Social Security benefit, I say the only thing, the only income is earned income from a job, your W-2 income, or your net earnings from self-employment.
Not a pension.
Not a pension.
And if you're married—
Well, not a pension, a private pension, but—
Right. And if you're married, it doesn't affect it doesn't take into account your spouse's income either, does it?
No.
It's just your own earnings personally.
Right. Correct. Right. Just your own earnings.
Now, I have a question about personal savings. Talking about government pensions have an effect on Social Security. Do my personal savings have any effect whatsoever on what I'm going to get from Social Security?
No, they don't. No, they don't.
Okay, so that really
not
me.
Yet.
Okay,
not yet.
Not yet. would that be what they mean by means testing if it ever comes to that point?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Could be.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. Again, you can always email questions or comments to talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter.
You know, back before the bipartisan commission to fix Social Security once and for all in the Reagan administration.
In 2000? Oh, it was before
this was
that.
In the early 80s.
How many commissions ago?
Well, I don't Social Security and benefits never used to be taxable because unlike 401k plan, you know, when you put money into a retirement plan, you're reducing your income for tax purposes. This doesn't work that way. I mean, your income is what it is and Social Security is taken out, but there's no tax reduction for doing it. Now, though, for some taxpayers, when they receive benefits, instead of those benefits being tax-free like they used to be through the up until the mid-80s, they're now taxable depending on how much income you make. What are those limits now,
Danny? They can be taxable. The taxable limits for a single individual is $25,000 adjusted gross income.
Modified adjusted gross.
Modified adjusted gross. And for a couple, I believe it's $32,000. 32 or 34,
so
I have to look.
So if your adjusted gross income or modified adjusted gross income exceeds that, then a portion of your Social Security.
Then between 50 and 85% of the Social Security benefits you've received can be taxable, depending on what your modified adjusted gross is. I suggest you get publication 915 from the IRS. It's good bedtime reading.
Sure.
And go ahead and
when you have insomnia.
Safer than sleeping pills.
Or make it real simple. Put it in a TurboTax. It'll tell you. But, you know, there's a band of income of Social Security that's going to be taxable depending on your total adjusted gross income.
Well, and it's more of an accounting question, but certain kinds of income are counted in modified adjusted gross. And including
half of your Social Security.
Right. And income from tax-free bonds.
Right.
Can be. And certain kinds of income are not. And so it involves some real specialized planning.
That's an accountant.
Yeah.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the discussion. Carol from Delhi. Good afternoon, Carol.
Oh, Carol.
Yes, hello. Thanks for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
My husband worked for the railroad for 35 years. And he just retired in September at age 60. I will turn 60 in April, so I'll be eligible for his Tier 2 benefits. I wanted to know when I should check into Social Security at 67, or should I stay on the railroad?
You're eligible for Social Security benefits on your own record?
I am.
You would want to do – well, you're subject to the same thing everybody else is. If you're going to get spousal benefits from the railroad, is that what you're saying? You'll be
– yes.
Okay.
I planned on taking those at age 60.
Okay. That's fine. And so what should you do with your Social Security?
Yes.
Good question. I think that the Social Security benefit, it depends what tier the railroad is. There might be some offset in there. I'd have to look it up, actually. I knew I'd get a railroad question.
Yeah, and actually,
I knew it was going to happen.
Yeah, and the fact is that the railroad retirement has always had an interesting way that it interplays with Social Security.
Yeah.
At the Social Security website, ssa.gov, they have a special section on that. So if you just go there and type in, go to ssa.gov and type in railroad retirement, everything you'd want to know is right there.
Right. Kath, if you contact me later.
I can't collect both, correct?
Well, yeah, you can't. I'm not sure exactly how that works because railroads are just a whole different – because there's a question on the application. Are you or your spouse ever work for the railroad?
Okay.
And then it depends on who's going to compute the benefit because, like, if your husband had worked for 5 years for the railroad, he could – and then work for Social Security for the rest of his life. Social Security would go get his railroad earnings and apply it to his Social Security and he'd get a Social Security benefit with some railroad. So that's a complex subject, but I'd be glad to help you if you want to contact me later. And I got to look up the question. I'm not going to give you an answer. I'm not sure.
And actually here at the Social Security website, early retirement reductions do not apply if you have at least 30 years of service with the railroad retirement benefit covered employment. But just go to the Social Security website.
She's getting spousal.
Spousal, yeah. I mean, again, you'd want to get professional help.
Carol, thank you very much for your question.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Let's talk with Jay from Cincinnati. Hi, Jay.
Hi. I had a question in regard to Social Security that I'm not clear on.
Okay.
I've been working since I was 17, but also throughout that I've been a student most of my life until about, I guess, 6 years ago I earned a PhD. And I've been, for the past probably 10 years, I've been working at various universities, mostly in Ohio, then just recently in Kentucky. I guess my larger question is, at 65, what kind of benefits do I receive? Does that depend on how much I put into the system? I'm very confused about that. Does that make sense?
So you're going to draw a pension from your non-covered employment at the universities, right?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm in my 30s now, so
You're what?
I'm in my 30s right now.
Okay.
So I'm just trying to see what it'll look like when I retire. And
okay.
Not,
well, if you're in your 30s now, God only knows what the system's going to be like 25 or 30 right. years from now. But as it stands right okay. now, if you drew old pension from your non-covered employment at the universities, it would affect any Social Security benefit that you're eligible for.
Yeah.
You'd be affected by the windfall elimination provision.
Non-covered employment means that you're working at your employer. Generally, this happens a lot with people who work at high schools and colleges and so
right.
forth.
State, city.
State, right, public employees who are in a system that does not pay into Social Security. That can have an impact on what your benefit will be when even benefits from income that were covered under Social Security prior to you working for a non-covered employer.
Right.
Jay, thank you for the question. We appreciate it. More on navigating Social Security after the break, and in about 14 minutes, Focus on Technology looks at the science behind a dog who can smell when a polar bear is pregnant. You can join our conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney, along with Denny Haywood and Chris DeSimeo, talking about the ins and outs of Social Security. And you can join the discussion at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Denny, there was a survey a few years ago. This always sticks in my head. It was young people. And I think the question was, what are you more likely to see in your lifetime, a UFO or your Social Security payment? And I think more of them said the UFO or something along those lines.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. I had I worked at Social Security. I had a manager up here on Kemper Lane, my first office I worked at. And I got that same question in 1973 all the time. And I went into his office. I said, well, what do I tell him? He says, you tell them as long as Congress has the power to tax, there's going to be Social Security.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation. We have Trina from Wilmington. Good afternoon, Trina.
Hi.
And what's your question?
It's about Social Security disability. My husband was on Social Security disability and passed away in June. And I was wondering, am I entitled to any of his benefits?
I'm sorry for your loss, Kathy.
Yes.
Thank you.
He passed away. And how old are you? What's your date of birth?
1960.
So widow's benefits can be paid to you, number one, if you're disabled between the ages of 50 and 60. All right. So that's the first eligibility you would have on his record. You should have filed for the lump sum death benefit. That's just $255, but you can get that, you know, since he died. That's one benefit they haven't done away with yet. So you're eligible for that. Between age 50 and 60, a disabled widow, and at age 60, you would take a roughly a 30% reduction in whatever benefit he was receiving when he died.
Okay.
Are there any children under age 18
No.
at home? Okay.
No.
And, of course, you know, if you take it before age 66, you've got a choice. You can take the widow's and let yours go, okay, until you're 65 or 70 or however long you want to wait.
I see.
Yeah, so widows have a choice. Spouses do not. So you don't. You could take his at a 30% reduction, and when you're 62, take your own, or when you're 66, take your own, or at 70, take your own.
I see.
Okay.
Okay. Very good.
Thanks, Trina.
Thanks
we appreciate
calling,
the call. Let's talk with Susan from West Union. Good afternoon, Susan.
Hi. My question concerns which category or type of people should start collecting at 62?
Good question.
That is a good question, Susan, but, you know, some people have to. There is no choice. You lose your job or you decide to quit. The big question then is, what are you going to do for health insurance if you're age 62 and leaving the company and stopping to work? Usually people that take it at 62, they have a spouse and they both draw on each other's record. You have the wage earner, the husband, he quits working, and the wife takes half of his. Of course, that's reduced for age, but each of them take a 25% reduction, and you've got 25% less money going for the rest of your life.
And then you would also be subject to the earnings limit, too.
Right, right. You can't, you know, you're subject to that earnings limitation, but assuming you stop working, then the earnings limitation, the $15,400, doesn't come into play.
And what about the condition of your own health? If you think you may not live to be 70 or 75 or 80, aren't you better off starting to collect earlier?
Well, I'm not a financial planner, but it makes sense to me. You know, the longer you wait, the higher the benefit is. But it goes up incrementally month by month by sometimes $8 to $10. So if you're in poor health, my advice usually is take the money and run.
Yeah, generally,
okay, that answers my question.
Yeah, yeah, that's correct. If longevity doesn't run in your family or your health is on the you have health concerns, quite often people will take the money early.
Susan, thank you for your call. We appreciate it. Let's talk to Bob from Milford. Good afternoon, Bob.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Hi, Bob.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted you to talk about if you retire early. I retired at 62, and I retired mid-year. And that's the problem. If you make over a certain amount the rest of the year, you pretty much have to give that whole month of benefits back. It's not a $1 for every two you make over. If you're self-employed, you work over 45 hours a month. That's a month. And you make like $1,400, over $1,400 that month. You pretty much have to give back all the benefits you've gotten for that month.
Yeah, it was $1,260 a month this year. It'll be $1,290 a month next year.
Right. Yeah. It isn't very much, and if people should be aware of this because it's a pretty stiff penalty, and I don't know why self-employed people are hit like that.
Good point. If your net's going to be over the $15,400, if your net's going to be over that limit, okay, then the monthly test comes into play. Are you working more than 45 hours a month? Or making more than $1,290 gross a month, and self-employed it would be net. But the first thing to look at is what's your net going to be for the year. If it's going to be under $15,400, doesn't matter how many hours a month you work. Okay, but if it's going to be over $15,400, then they're going to go and say, okay, how many hours did you work in each month? And you got to explain it that way. You're right. That's a good point. And for a lot of people that are working, making $50,000-$60,000 a year, and they quit working in September, they think, well, I made too much. I can't get benefits. And that's not true. If you stop September 30th, you can get your check for October, November, and December as long as you don't earn over that monthly limit, $1,290.
Good point. Good point, Denny.
And Bob, thank you for your phone call. Let's talk to Jeannie from Cincinnati. Good afternoon, Jeannie.
How are you doing?
Hi, Jeannie.
Good. Hi, Jeannie.
I have a question. I have a person that I know. He's going to start collecting Social Security. He's 67, so he's over the age limit. He retired, and the job he had, he paid into what they call PERS for 30 years.
Public employee retirement system.
All the other places he worked, the other 40 years of his life or whatever, he paid into Social Security. Now, he already knows he'll be able to collect some Social Security and his PERS, but what is that percentage? Because the Social Security office said that you'll collect less. So what? How do they determine how much less you collect versus if you always paid into Social Security?
Okay, if he's got 20 years of what's called substantial earnings, at least, well, 20 or more, he's not going to be, he'll be affected by the WEP less. And substantial earnings is defined by X amount of dollars. Every year it changes. I think this year it's around 21,000, something like that. So if through the years he's had 30 years of substantial earnings, the WEP will not affect
WEP him. WEP is the windfall elimination provision.
Right. So, I mean, he can draw his PERS, and if he's got another 30 years of substantial earnings under the covered system, under Social Security, then he's not going to be affected by the WEP at all.
Yeah, well, yeah, he has 30 years of PERS, and he probably has about 35 years of Social Security.
Well, as long as he meets the substantial earnings amounts, and he, I don't know what he earned. I mean, if he made $5,000 a year,
With his PERS income, he made anywhere from when he started to when he retired from $40,000 to $70,000 a year.
That doesn't make any difference. It's the other earnings, yeah.
Yeah, with Social Security, he probably did, you know, I don't know, $40,000 or whatever.
Okay.
I mean, you know, it was pretty much money.
He should
but
be okay.
You know, do they give a percentage when they say, because you have another retirement somewhere else, you'll still be able to collect Social, but it's going to be a less percentage versus if you just paid your whole life into Social Security. Do they give a percentage, or is it just...
Yeah, there's a formula, but it's based on how many years of substantial earnings the individual has. If you have none, you're going to be a maximum offset. Right now, it's about $395. But it goes down gradually if you've got substantial earnings years more than 20 or at least 30.
Okay, well, he's just happy he's going to be able to get both.
Yeah, really.
Good luck.
Well,
good luck,
he paid in.
Thank you very much for the call.
Thank you.
Let's talk to Brian from Dayton. Good afternoon, Brian.
Hi.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
I've got a question about my mom. Her and my dad, you know, divorced back in the early 70s. I think they were married about 15 years. Fast forward, you know, about 20 years later, he passed away. Now she's retired. Would she be able to collect on what his earnings were?
Yes. She's a widow, and they were married for more than 10 years?
Neither remarried.
Did she remarry before age 60?
No, she's never remarried.
Never remarried. Okay. Yeah, nope. Sure. She's got a choice. She can take benefits on his record or on her own, take the higher of the two benefits. A lot of times, a widow will take her own benefit because it's a lot lower at first, and then switch over to the spousal benefit that might be higher at age 65 or 66.
Now, does someone, if they remarry, Denny, do they forfeit then the benefits on their former spouse? Do those stop?
If they remarry before age 60, they forfeit it.
Okay.
Brian, thank you for your question. We appreciate it. And I think we have time. One more phone call
here.
Squeeze
one more in.
Yeah, let's talk to Donald from Norwood. Good afternoon, Donald.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
I want to talk to you about this windfall elimination deal.
Okay.
What happened is I worked for the post office, and I retired when I had 30 years in the post office. And I retired, and I waited until I reached 62, and I went to get my Social Security. So the woman looked it up, and she says, oh, you get $500. And then she says, oh, wait a minute, you work for the post office, so you got to take a deduction. So I took a $300 deduction out of my Social Security.
Yep, that's the windfall elimination provision.
Nothing I can do about it, huh?
Yeah, welcome to the party.
I wish we had good news for
you. Yeah, I wish I did, but I mean, what they said when they passed this law is if you're going to get all that money from the post office and for me from the federal government, we're going to reduce your Social Security about a maximum effect, and that's what you got. That's the truth.
Donald, thank you for your call. We appreciate it. And there are links on our site to Social Security, and so you can, and also the site where you can check what your benefits would be. So advice is, what age is a good age, again, to start looking into this? You said early 60s.
Well, if you're a widow or widower, prior to age 60 at least.
Okay.
A lot of my clients come in at about age 58, 59, 60 to 65, 66.
So don't wait.
Right.
The
don't
last
wait.
Minute
well,
is the main
I have
thing.
People wait till 67 or 68, and they've made some big mistakes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Understandably so. Well, Chris and Denny, thanks for joining me this afternoon. Financial advisor Chris DeSimeo And also Denny Haywood, president of Social Security Solutions. Again, thanks to both of you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Mark.
Enjoyed it.